Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Wild, Wicked, and Weird. I'm your host, Will Vojvodik, and to my left is my beautiful co-host.
I am Brett Hedges. Thanks for joining us, folks.
That's right. That's right. We are two average Canadians taking a deep dive into some of the wild, wicked, and weird stories from our hometown of Windsor, Ontario, and we're going to take you around the world as well.
Absolutely. Give us a follow on social media. Like us on Facebook at Wild, Wicked, and Weird Podcast. On Twitter at Wild Wicked W, on YouTube, Wild Wicked and Weird, and give us an email at wildwickedandweird@gmail.com. Yeah. And please, please, please give us an Apple review, give us 5 stars, tell us what you think of the show. It helps us move up the charts, and please do that for us. And thank you to everyone who has done that in the past.
Yes, we love your reviews. Next time you're at dinner, just grab Grandma's phone when she's not looking, go in her purse, take $5, $10, $20 while you're at it, and just leave that 5-star review. She'll never know what happened. And you know, hey, you can't hurt her if she doesn't know about it.
Right? Absolutely. Make sure to check us out on Apple, Spotify, Google. I guess we're on Overcast now. We're on Google
YouTube.
Play, Spotify.
Yeah.
Make sure anywhere you guys get your podcast, tell your friends and let them know that Wild, Wicked, and Weird is the podcast to listen to now.
That's right. That's right. Because we didn't sell out and go to Spotify. They only offered us $400 million.
That's right.
That's right. So I wanted to try a little something different this week.
Cool.
And I was actually inspired by this. So I wanted to try a little game show this week with my friend Brett. So the name of the game is 5 over 50. I have a couple stories that I dug up from the Windsor Star archives over the last century. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to paraphrase it because the point of the story is Brett has to guess if this story is from within the last 5 years or if it's over 50 years old.
Okay.
So it might have happened last year. It might have happened when your grandpa was alive. Okay. We don't know. Let's play.
I'm interested.
I got the idea for this game because Brett sent me something on Twitter.
Yeah.
It was a screenshot of a classified ad. It's like a wanted ad for a job. And I thought, well, this obviously didn't happen in the 21st century. This is from like 1940s because it was so
blatantly racist.
Inappropriate. So I'll pull up the DM that he sent me here. So Brett sent me something.
Maybe we'll link it to our social media, but I don't know. But this is an interesting thing.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. This is from, there's a place called Lucky Chopsticks in Kingsville. And boy, are you Kingsville people lucky if you have this place next to you. So this place, they're located at 313 Main Street East. They're looking for a couple full-time cooks. I will read the description.
Verbatim.
It is as follows.
Verbatim.
Hi, we are hiring, R is just the letter R, we are hiring 3 cooker, and 3 cookers just together in one word. Maybe it's supposed to say 3 cooks, or they're looking for 3 cookers. 3 cooker, please bring your resume in person, phone number. Michael, no black, no MSL, Chinese only. What does MSL mean? Muslims? It's got it.
It has to, in my opinion, it has to be.
Mainstream lies, mainstream.
I don't know.
Maybe it's a typo.
But at the time that's like, I didn't screenshot this. Someone else screenshotted it and
maybe
they took it off of Twitter.
Yeah.
And at the time that someone posted this, it already had 81 visits.
Oh,
so
my
like
God.
Over 81 people saw this ad and looked at it before this guy screenshotted it and be like, did anyone notice this?
Hi, like, this position has been filled. Thank you. I hope it's a mistake.
A typo. Yeah. I really hope it's a mistake.
I'm just gonna Google Lucky Chopsticks.
I know exactly. It's a restaurant in Kingsville. Yeah, I know exactly what it is. There's an ad for it as you leave my parents'
town. It's a Chinese buffet.
It's a buffet.
Oh my God. Okay, iHeartRadio and CTV have an article. OPP to investigate discriminatory job posting in
Kingsville.
Oh,
I didn't know this.
Oh my God!
So they are investigating.
Here's
this.
An article from Gord Bacon from iHeartRadio.
This is us really realizing this Essex, this in real time. Like
so
we just started talking about this.
So Essex County OPP are investigating a discriminatory job posting for a position at Kingsville Restaurant. Wow, that's crazy. So the owners say they are not hiring and they did not post the ad. <That's>... Deny, deny, deny.
You know what? In their defense, though, someone could very well easily just post an ad on Kijiji in someone else's name, but I'm sure they will track that shit down.
Well,
and
we'll
figure
find out
who posted that ad.
The investigation continues, so we'll find out.
That's bad.
Anyways.
Oh, no. That's a fun start.
Let's play Who Wants to Be a Canadian Tire Millionaire? Let's play 50 over 50.
Oh, I should have brought Burger King coupons as a prize.
Oh, I got coops, baby. I got coops. Here's our first story. You ready, Brett?
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not going to say it word for word, but I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't want to give away some of the period vernacular.
Yeah, and I'm only going to look over here to talk in the microphone. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, the first one. Windsor man found drunk and injured outside of a bar. A Windsor man is being treated at Hotel du Hospital as a result of head injuries received yesterday in front of a bar on Howard Avenue. Staff from the bar said he was causing trouble and was being escorted out of the door when he tripped and fell, striking his head against the pavement. Okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to escort that man off the premises. You're going to get him up by his feet. You're going to open up that door with his fucking head.
With his fucking head!
So, Brett, do you think this happened within 5 years or over 50 years ago? What's your guess?
Oh, that's good because the wording... Like, you could be, a man was causing trouble and was tossed out when he tripped and fell and broke the crown of his head. So this could be, like, easily 1920s, 30s, 40s.
Could be yesterday. Could be Brett yesterday, this weekend.
So I have to say within 5 years or if it's over 50, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to give me an exact date.
I'm
just
gonna
say
go
if it's with the word.
Over 50.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
He's right. One for one. So this is from July 2nd, 1949,
nice.
Windsor Star. It's on page 2. So I'll bring it up here just for a second, and I'll show it to Brett. Here, let's see it here. So, look at all
God.
This stuff they had. Like, there's enough copy in this one page and then a whole article. Nowadays.
Summer,
here it is.
Summer tells a lingerie story. I'm looking at the lingerie ad here on the right, so that's so funny.
Panties, sizes for $175 to $3.
Panties, pajamas, gowns, slips, negligees.
Some nice wool panties.
Guarding
for winter.
Look at this one. Guarding against polio. We should definitely take a screenshot of this.
Oh my god. Once you start looking at these articles, though.
It's bad. Yeah. Found injured outside tavern. Windsor man hurt, fell, says waiters.
Yeah, he fell, I'm sure.
Named John Smith.
Yeah, a Windsor man identified as John Smith from Arthur Road.
As vague as you can get.
So was his name John Smith? We don't know. Did
he
actually hurt himself falling down? I don't know. I don't know about that one. We'll see.
He could have been a John Doe if they didn't write about it here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Instead of a John Smith. Moving on to number 2. So okay. Brett's on a good roll now.
All right, I got 10 points.
Number 2. A man wielding a knife robbed a restaurant on the 1900 block of Wyandotte West. Police received a call around 9:40 p.m. Friday about a man who entered the store, pulled out a knife, and demanded money. The clerk gave him a small amount of cash, and he left. So, Brett, this is actually a 2-for-1 because... If you can guess the era right, if it was within 5 years ago or over 50 years ago, I'll give you an extra point if you can name the restaurant. 1900 Wyandotte West. You know this area.
Wyandotte West, 1900.
First, you have to guess the era. Is it within 5 years or is it over 50
Wyandotte
years
West,
ago?
West,
which
Wyandotte
means
West.
1971 and earlier, 50 years ago.
Okay, yep, that's fair.
So is it from 70s and earlier or...
1900 Wyandotte West.
Give me the era first.
Just era. It's gonna be over 50 years ago.
Wrong.
Oh,
it's within 5 years ago.
5 years.
Yeah.
Was it?
I'm not gonna say if it's a new restaurant or an old restaurant. You'll see.
Yeah, I'll see.
Well, you said Jade. Well,
I said Jade.
Olette is like the line in the sand. Olette is where it starts from east to west. So if it's Jade, if that's at Olette, Jade wouldn't be 1900. Jade would be like 2 or like 10, right?
That's true.
Probably.
But
I don't know.
But Dragon's Inn
is not near
way,
there.
Is
it's
way
more,
too far over.
It's more west than Jade. Dragon's Inn, you're getting warmer.
Getting warmer.
Yep.
Leopards is near there, but I don't know.
I can't
tell
you.
I've never been there.
I don't
before,
know what Leopards
so
is.
Know.
I don't know.
I can't think of the restaurant that's there. Spicy Hot Pot?
No.
No.
No. I'll give you a hint.
Which one?
It's finger looking good.
KFC!
The KFC got robbed.
That's one of the oldest KFCs in Windsor, actually. That's not there
oh
anymore.
Oh my god, you're right.
It's
yeah.
one of the oldest KFCs in
well,
Windsor.
It was
so that's
there.
What I thought.
It was there February 7th, 2017.
That one was basically serving the students from the English, the ESL school, the English as second language school.
Oh, the place right next door, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's funny.
And there's Ultimate Cuts across the street, which is this great barbershop that me and Brett would go into, and we were the only white kids in there ever. And it was just
the
great.
Best.
Like, this is Lonzo. A far cry from the Bo Ricks in LaSalle that I would go to.
Oh, dude. As a kid. The conversations that
they don't roll blunts at Bo Ricks.
No. And they would have like, it was always like, I don't know. I don't want to be stereotypical, but it was always like Friday or like an awesome movie on that was on in the thing. And I used to always love going to that barbershop.
They would play the best. They'd play like Blade and Menace to Society. And
one time it was, don't be a menace while drinking your juice in the south side of the hood. Is that the one?
Yeah.
With Marlon Wayans.
That's okay. A good one.
So yeah. I'm 1-1.
Here's the next one. Facebook defends not stopping malicious posts from spreading. Brett, is it within 5 years ago or over 50 years ago?
Within five.
Wrong. It was 1944, back when they called photo albums Facebooks. I'm just kidding. Oh. Yeah. It was from the same paper. It was next article from the KOC one.
Okay. So I'm still 1-1.
Yeah.
So exactly. I'm number 3.
That didn't count. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Talking to the mic.
So number 4, we have the daily traffic toll. This was a toll that goes in every day in the paper that tallies up the daily accidents and deaths. The first statistic, you probably guess this is not from 5 years ago. So the first statistic of the tally, it says, days since last fatality, 23. 23.
Like in the opening of The Simpsons when it says, days since last accident, Homer brings home a piece of, exactly. of plutonium outside of the planet. Yeah.
The next tally, injuries, 10. Accidents, 29. That's just from that day. This is a daily tally. And then it says, fatalities this year, 9, compared to 7 for the same period of last year. So it's going up. It's going
all
up.
The way up. So that's over 50.
This is over 50 years ago. Yeah.
That's
this
wild.
This is from September 18th, 1971. So 1971, they were still keeping traffic tolls. So here, I'll show you. Here's the traffic toll. So it just says, hey, here's your news. Oh, by the way, it's been 23 days since the last person died.
It's literally
died
just
on
like it's like a 1x2-inch column that they would just put in about who's there. Oh man,
exactly.
Just yep. Here's the tally of how many people died by via accident in our area since the beginning of the year.
Exactly.
That's kind of that's really disappointing.
Here's an article on the same page from 1971 that says tobacco men continue to smoke ad beef. So the tobacco. What's the name? The lobby group, like the tobacco growers, they were mad because there was a federal bill that was going to ban cigarette advertising and even enable the government to regulate the tar levels in the cigarettes.
Oh, how
just
dare
disgusting.
They?
Yeah.
How dare they regulate the tobacco, the tar levels in cigarettes?
Big Tobacco is up in arms over this. Over this.
Big Tobacco. It's just crazy to think like back then how much sway the tobacco companies had back then.
They got everything.
Like, our region was just, a lot of it was tobacco farming. Like, a lot of my family's farms back in the day, and in, like, the Tilsonburg area, the Hedges name is a lot of tobacco farms, like Benson and Hedges.
Benson and Hedges.
That's right.
Imagine if you're actually descended from Benson and Hedges royalty.
Oh,
Cigarette royalty.
I wish I had some of that cigarette money. Not really, though. Cigarettes kill.
Brett's baby's just playing with a toy cigarette when I come over there.
No, never. Absolutely
just
not.
Just finishes her applesauce and just lights up a dart at the table. Like, oh,
no,
that's
we're
fucking
editing
good.
This out. That's horrible. Sorry. That's awful.
So, next
don't
one.
Tell you that.
Number 5. So, what's your tally at by now? What do you have? One for two or two for two?
Let's say 1-1-1 because you gave me number 3.
Okay. You're a winner in my books. So, number 5. Windsor police are searching for a gunman after robbing a store in downtown Windsor at gunpoint. He stole $75 from the woman working there. She said she was near the front door of the store when a, quote, well-dressed, good-looking man, end quote, walked in and demanded cash. Brett, is this story within 5 years or over 50 years?
Within 5.
No, it's over 50.
Oh, I was going reverse psychologist. Like, a well-dressed man wouldn't do that now, but it would really catch someone's surprise if a well-dressed man robbed them now.
Even
so,
the
like,
scummiest criminal back then was better dressed than the best criminal now. They just had class back then. They wore suits, hats. Now you got a fucking piece of shit with PJs and a Sons of Anarchy sweater on robbing stores. Disgusting.
PJs, yeah, PJs that are 6 days old and have shit stains on them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget the big floppy shoes too with the laces undone.
Yeah, exactly.
And an Oakland Raiders hat.
Yeah, with a 2-year-old following behind.
Usually.
So one here, or two. Oh, yeah. Here's the article. The headline says, Thug gets $75 from a robbery.
That's it? Oh, yeah. this is from
It was from a hat store. So as soon as I said from a hat store downtown, obviously they don't have any hat stores.
Not anymore.
What's a hat store called? A haberdashery.
A haberdashery, right? Yeah.
The more you learn with Brett and Will.
A hattery. A mad hattery.
Yeah, so the fact that the guy was well-dressed robbing a hat store, that shit didn't happen before. After
that
World
shit
War
don't
II.
Happen, no.
You know it didn't, yeah. All right, number six. Suspect bites police officer. Officers were trying to...
5 years. Officers... 5 years.
You're right.
You don't even need to read it. I know if he bit someone within 5 years.
It was on a full moon. Because I was looking at nights that had full moons, because I know those are the craziest stories.
Yes.
So this was on the night of June 28th, 2018. Police were at a residence in Ridgetown, so a little bit outside of Windsor.
I'm into it, though. Ridgetown. So, a Ridgetown
The Ridgetown Biters. The Ridgetown Nibblers. That'd be a good sports team name.
I used to have to go play hockey in Ridgetown, and they were the Ridgetown Rangers, I want to say, or Ridgetown Ramblers or something like that.
Nice.
And it was always... It was like, it's a decent little town, but it was always shit having to drive
People
there.
People always biting you.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Ridgetown, it's been a long time. If I ever went back to their rink, I'd probably be blown away at how small it is now. But
so the officers were trying to arrest this man because he wasn't supposed to be at this address. And so while they were arresting him, he grabbed a nearby woman's hair and just wouldn't let go. So they started hitting him with the pepper spray, and he bit a cop pretty bad. Like, it broke the skin. The cop had to go to the hospital. But I did want to mention the pepper spray, because obviously we all know pepper spray wasn't invented until May 1973, and that would just give it away.
Of course.
That's what I thought. Yeah. All right. Number seven. I don't even know the score anymore.
I think I'm up 3-1-1.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yep.
So... Thieves break into the LCBO in Harrow and start working on a safe with an acetylene torch. Brett,
is this
within 5 years or over 50 years ago?
LCBO in Harrow, you said?
Yeah, the LCBO, Liquor Control Board.
This is like 2 blocks away from my parents' house. Holy shit.
What was your Uncle Ronnie up to last week?
Not my Uncle Ronnie.
Where'd your Uncle Ronnie came into all that money last week?
Ronnie's Carl's dad.
It smelled like vodka.
But 50 years.
Yep. You're right. Ding, ding, ding. So this was actually from January 4th, 1965.
Really?
In good old Harrow. That's where we go for all the good stories.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Here, I'll pull up the article here. $400 in loot in Harrow burglary. So it talks about how the thieves got $400 when they broke into the Harrow Liquor Control Board store. They actually started working on it with a torch that they had stolen from the store next door. From McDonald's Garage.
Yes.
You know McDonald's Garage? They stole it from there.
Yeah, it was an auto garage. I think my dad actually worked there. Yeah, like, it's funny.
Apparently, they couldn't get into the safe. So they just took $400, which was in a petty cash box. So they could have gotten a lot more. Oh, and they cracked a bottle of whiskey and drank it while breaking the safe.
Had to drink some CC to get over the fact that you couldn't bust open the safe with your stolen acetylene torch.
Yeah, those Harold burglars.
That's funny, though. That's
they were
really
probably
funny.
From Colchester, though, coming to do their dirty
like, honestly,
work
like, my grandpa probably knows that story. Because he was an Amherstburg cop. He probably knows exactly what happened. But he
showed up on the scene.
He wasn't a cop until 73, though, actually. No, you're right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's so funny, though.
Yeah. So this is one I found. It didn't happen in Windsor, but it was in the Windsor Star, and it's a funny story, and it has a picture that's just great. So I'll read the headline. It says, Honest Dave Saves City's Dimes.
Honest Dave.
Honest Dave. You ready to be Honest Dave? So this is a story from Manhattan, New York, New York.
New York, New York.
I'm not even going to paraphrase this. I'm just going to read it verbatim.
Okay.
Don't look, Brett. Okay. I'll read it off. No one is going to shortchange New York City if 8-year-old David Rutnick can help it. The youngster shows the broken lock on one of 2 faulting parking meters near his Manhattan home. David collected the dimes from the meters, lest some less responsible citizen appropriate them. When he collected the sum of $2, he asked his mother to send it to Mayor Robert F. Wagner with a suggestion that the meters be fixed. A return letter from the mayor's office termed David a first-class citizen. So this little fucking loser went and picked up all the dimes from the broken meters and gave the money back from the mayor, who was probably robbing the city blind the city officials. Like,
Honest Dave.
Look at this picture. And you got this picture of Honest Dave.
He looks like he has a cleft lip.
He's got his arm. No, he's just smiling. He's got his arm.
Okay, that's just the typo. Don't say.
But he has his arm like on the parking meter with his finger pointing at, like, hey, see this fucking meter right here? This is my fucking buddy. No one fucking shortchanges this guy, okay?
He's a security
guard. These are my fucking dimes, Wagner's. I fucking tell you.
Oh, my God. The March of Dimes. Dave Saban dimes.
Yeah, but if you put a dime in a broken meter and you take it back, you're a miscreant, David.
So this is definitely over 50 years old.
Obviously, yeah. I just thought it was funny. Honest Dave, save cities dimes. I was fucking dying. Yeah, but I love these articles in this here. So, Dave, this was from December 31st, 1954. And actually, if we go back to, I just want to go back and show you something from the Herald article. Okay, so this was back in the thug gets $75 from robbery. So we'll just splice this in after we talk about that one. So, yeah, I just love the way that they, you know, word this robbery from this well-dressed man from a haberdashery. And there's also an article in this in the lower part of this page, and it says Windsor area's first 65 baby still nameless. So they still haven't named the first baby of the new year. This is a pretty big issue. So that took up a big chunk of the page there.
Just the city gossip page.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's also an advertisement on the next page here for Lazar's Fine Furs downtown.
That's still downtown.
Oh, yeah. So this is from 1965. Brett, they have a steal of a deal for a chinchilla and a sable coat for $2,900 and $3,750, respectively. Not $37, $3,750
for a Russian sable coat.
Saba. So, in case you're wondering,
one of a kind.
Nowadays, that would equal around $25,000 to $35,000 for the Sauble coat. Jeez. In today's money. So $35,000 for a coat that people are going to throw paint on as soon as you walk out of the door.
Oh, that's wild.
Anyways, what's your score at now? I forget.
I don't know. I don't think you've been really letting me answer.
Some of them, the answer was already there. Yes. I told, but it was just funny.
I think we're at like 6 or 7. Let's just say I'm at like 4, 1, and 1. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's another story I wanted to find. Oh, yeah. Honest Dave.
But that's great, though, man. Like, I love being able to look at old news and just being like, how is this news? Like, yeah. How did this make this? But I understand, like, the break-ins and stuff. And the one about Harrow, that's really fun, too. So
here's an article in that same page that is called House Proud Woman. Recently, we came upon the term House Proud Woman. It was used in a complimentary manner. It is possible, however, for women to become too house proud.
Oh.
Most of us have known some such. They have an obsession about dust. A man can't smoke his pipe in peace or relax on the Chesterfield. Members of the family are continually badgered about this and nagged about that. Reasonable pride is justifiable and even commendable. Carried to extremes, pride can become obnoxious. A house-proud woman certainly is an asset in a home, provided she doesn't overdo it. So, message to you. Young girls out there.
Yeah, I'm sure some man was like, no, let's set this matter straight
here. I just want to smoke my pipe on the Chesterfield team, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm writing this column to talk to my friend's wife, Daisy, here. Like, if my friend Mark wants to smoke his pipe in his Chesterfield on his haberdashery, you do what you have to do here. Oh, just the old bad taste back then.
That Mary has some pride, but she's becoming a little too woman proud, if you know what I mean. Or house
she's,
proud.
She's too she's house too much woman. Of a house proud woman, my God.
She's too much of an HPW, I tell you, that fucking Mary.
HPW.
Fucking
HPW's.
Yeah. So, anyways, thank you for playing 5 over 50 this week, Brett. I thought it was a little something different, you know.
Absolutely, let's have some fun. I think I won. So does that mean that you're buying lunch this week?
Ooh.
On that note,
Brett showed up to my house with 4 Popeye sandwiches. Oh my God.
But I wish I had brought in food from our sponsor this week, the Dominion House Tavern.
Woo!
Wild, Wicked, and Weird is brought to you by the Dominion House Tavern, the oldest pub in the border region that has proudly served Windsor since 1878. Just a stone's throw away from the University of Windsor and Ambassador Bridge, the DH has been helping Windsor's brightest and travelers alike unwind for generations. Enjoy the delicious pulled pork egg rolls, share a plate of nachos, munch on a tasty Reuben sandwich or a mouth-watering burger, and grab a drink with family and friends tonight. Visit the Dominion House at 3140 Sandwich Street in Windsor from 2 to 9 p.m. every day for dine-in, or call for takeout at 519-971-7400. Plus, you can order delivery online with Skip the Ditches and Uber Eats. Just search the Dominion House. The DH, proudly serving Windsor since 1870. Thanks for checking in with us, guys. Hope you guys liked the first half of the show. Thanks for being patient as you waited for a long episode from my side last week. If you like that kind of stuff, let us know in an email at wildwickedandweird@gmail.com. If you like the longer stuff, if you like shorter things, if you like game show stuff like we were just doing, let us know. We're trying to be interactive a bit. Haven't gotten any emails yet from anybody. If you have any comments,
you're really
suggestions,
for those emails, eh? Every week you're like, "Yep, still looking at a zero there." You're like, "Yeah, still no invite on my Christian Mingle profile, but feel free, ladies."
Well, we need something more to get into our Gmail inbox rather than my McDonald's receipts that you just hawk.
Who cares about? Yeah, Gmail is for your McDonald's receipts. People, you can get at us on Facebook, Twitter. There's a bunch of ways people reach out to us. Mm-hmm. So if you want to Gmail, that's fine. But let us know. Help us help you.
Help us help you. Perfectly.
Yeah. Or in the reviews. If the reviews say, "Hey, I like this," you know.
Everything helps. We appreciate it. And everyone that's reached out and said that they really like the show, we really appreciate you guys reaching out and doing that. So good response so far. Let's keep it going. And you know what? I kind of mentioned this woman a little while ago in an episode a few weeks ago.
Shania Twain?
Da, na, 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 na. Let's go, girls. Well, this is a woman.
That don't impress me much.
So you're Brad Pitt? That so don't impress me.
So you're Brett Hedges? So you have a podcast?
That don't impress me. Sound like my wife.
Da, da, oh, God.
Just kidding. She supports the show. It's fun. She lets us have fun. She listens to our bullshit enough, so she doesn't need to listen to it on the podcast. So
thank you. Thank you, Robin.
We love you. So... this is the first person that's a woman that we've covered in a profile, kind of.
Oh.
And let's just say that she
only
had...
took us 15 episodes to do that.
Yeah, and we recently just got to 1,000 streams. So thank you, everyone, for getting us to that number. It means a lot to us. And
1K.
On to the next one, right? So one person wrote that this woman that we're going to be talking about is, if Al Capone had a daughter, he would have wanted her to be like Monica Proietti. So... you're Mike. Gonna need my help. I'm gonna need your
had
help.
A daughter.
I'm just saying. If he, I don't know. I don't know. But this is a French last name, I think. So okay. It's Proietti. Is that French or Italian? What do you think? Proietti.
Sounds
am I saying
Italian?
Sounds.
But like Bugatti is French.
Is
right?
It
right?
Anyway.
So there's some areas where it's close, like the Alps, that I think there's a lot of Italian influence.
Okay.
Brett looks bored. He's like,
no, I understand.
Italian.
No, I asked you for a reason because I honestly didn't know if I was saying it correctly. But
it sounds Italian.
Yeah, it works
anything,
for me.
If your name ends in a vowel, you might be Italian.
That's true. So Monica Proietti was born on February 25th, 1939, into a large poor family in a low-class neighborhood in the east end of Montreal. Her father's name was Romeo. Her mother's name is Maria. So yeah, it makes sense that she's Italian.
Romeo and Maria, are you kidding me? Do you think they're friends?
So she grew up in Montreal, though, so I had to ask you that. Gotcha.
Love
so
it.
She grew up in 1939.
They're gonna say Romeo and Juliet.
That'd be great. Oh man, Romeo.
Okay, 39.
You're there.
I feel like I'm there. Okay.
1939 was a really tough year for a lot of people, but Willie. Mm-hmm. Monica was born just as Hitler was planning to invade Poland and World War II was beginning. So let's think about that. Like being born in that era, brutal. You're just coming out of the Great Depression. There's a recession in the U.S. at the time, so things are bad enough.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go off to war at the end of 1939. It's pretty shitty.
Well, not when you're a baby. I mean, she's got a couple years.
That's true.
The draft.
Mm-hmm. But Monica lived before she goes in the draft. Let's just say she went to work early. Monica lived along with her other 8 siblings and parents on St. Dominique Street. Monica's grandmother taught her at an early age how to commit petty crimes and steal whatever she could to help the family make ends meet and get things she wanted.
See these Werther's originals? We're going to put them in the gas tank, honey, and then rob them blind.
So,
grandma?
Yeah, grandma. Grandma.
Oh, man.
So former police officer Roque del Aniello, quoted from the Dawson English Journal, quote, Monica's grandmother was a Fagin. F-A-G-I-N. Is that a...
Sure, he wasn't trying to say another.
No. That's why... Is that a French word? F-A-G-I-N?
Fagin.
Fagin. A woman who taught kids how to steal and gave them a cut of the take.
Oh, okay.
So there was...
a piece of shit. What
yeah. Is. There was no place for kids to play in that district, apparently. So they just roamed the streets begging and stealing because no one cared about them.
Okay.
Gotcha. So her grandma has a...
Fagin-like.
Okay. Yeah, Fagin. So, Fagin. Her grandma has a stable of children she has groomed to steal money from.
Oh,
her.
So she's like Mother Goose,
yes.
Basically, for little fucking bastards.
In Montreal.
Bastards. Yeah.
For poor kids. Like, I don't know, like, it kind of reminds me of like a Dickens novel where like the older kid
yes.
kind of like, yes, like,
she's like the
I didn't read those books, but.
She's like the Pied Piper of fucking criminals.
Absolutely. So grandma taught Monica at an early age how to get what she wants. And after learning the tricks of the trade from her grandma, Monica was motivated to help her mother support their large family, so she dropped out of school in grade 5 to begin working the streets as a sex worker at age 13.
Okay. So you see, it sounds like all fun and games, like, oh, they're robbing candy stores and taking an extra loony out of the soda pop machine, but grandma's whoring them out. That's what's happening.
At least that's what happened in this instance, anyway.
Okay,
so, but at 13, that's the first time she got arrested from the police for prostitution.
Okay.
So you don't want to really want to go
yeah.
there. So Monica would not be in that line of work forever, though, good news, as she got pregnant and was quickly married to a man 17 years older than her, a 33-year-old man, Scottish gangster named Anthony Smith in 1956. Pick up sticks.
Okay, so she was...
So she got married.
Like 17 then.
She's 17. Okay. Yep, you're perfect. Yeah, at age 17, Monica Smith was now a married stay-at-home mother with a daughter named Jeanette Smith.
Was she woman proud or house proud? Was she too house proud?
Well... She was pretty house proud.
Was she housebroken?
House proud woman. She wasn't too proud, well.
Pride is dangerous.
Pride is dangerous.
In the hands of a woman.
As long as she doesn't overdo it.
Ah, yes, of course, yes.
Fucking funny. And Monica and Anthony went on to live happily ever after. Well, for a few years they did. So right, they've got one kid. She's married. Anthony worked to provide for the family while Monica stayed at home to take care of everyone. She soon gave birth to a baby boy named Tony Smith in 1961. So now she has 2 babies, a husband that works. He's a gangster, but it's a living. You know what I mean?
Does he like work or like work as a gangster? Like,
he does other like he does
selling black market haggis as a Scottish whatever Scottish criminals do.
Karen, that was all that we had.
That was all the haggis we had. No one even buys it because it's horrible, but it's all we had.
Oh man, can you just imagine just like the terrible things you would have to make in the 50s?
I don't know. As a Scottish gangster, you could probably like hide an Uzi under a nice kilt. And going into a poker game or something. Like.
Is that an AK or are you just excited to see me there, fella?
Ah! That was good.
Like it said, Anthony, she's married to a gangster, but it's a living, right?
Scottish
like,
gangster.
Scottish gangster, William Wallace style.
William Wallace.
So a few years later, in 1958, a series of tragedies would occur that would change who Monica was. Mm-hmm. So she's now 19. She's married with 2 kids. When on February 3rd, 1958, her father Romeo is at work. It's at 6 a.m. and an oil heater explodes in the building that they live in at 1622 St. Elizabeth.
Wow. Oh, yeah, because that's when they would have heating oil, right?
Yep.
That's how they heat. Oh, God.
So these are really old school tenement Ooh. Houses that Monica's family lived in at the time.
Kaboom.
And when Romeo's at work, he hears that there's a fire back at his house, so he runs back. There was no fire escape at the property, so when Romeo runs up, all he can do is watch as the fire burns through the 2nd and 3rd floor where his family lived. Monica ran upstairs trying to save 6-year-old Giovanni, but it was too late. Monica and her mother then tried to save as many of her siblings as she could, but ultimately three more siblings were killed in the fire. So on top of Giovanni, who was 6, Jeanette, who was 4, Marcella, who was 8, and 8-month-old Michelle was killed in the fire. But four other siblings, 4 of the older kids, everyone that was basically older than these kids, they were all survived that fire. Mom went into a coma, but she came out of it. And, like, she lived, but this was obviously horrible for the family. Monica didn't think that the fire was accidental and wanted some answers, but when she pushed the cops to investigate, they did nothing. So now she hates the cops.
Huh.
So after this point, she hates the cops. It turns out that the building had just been sold or was owned by the city of Montreal and was going to be demolished soon. So it seemed like they didn't really care if it burned down at that time because they were going to be moving in a new housing development at that time. So there's some shady shit going on there. She hates the city of Montreal. She hates the cops. And by 1962...
Why does she hate Montreal?
Because the city of Montreal owned the property.
Oh, okay.
And they were negligent. It was a tenement house, right? Slum houses. Like you said, they're still using oil in their heaters. Uh-huh. The shit explodes. People died.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else died in the fire, but... Like, it's a bad, it's bad. Like, yeah. I read a whole article on this fire. But so by 1962, things started to get really desperate for Monica and her husband, Anthony. So they decided to rob a Cafe Paloma on St. Laurent Boulevard, but they got caught. So Anthony, who was from Scotland, as I remember, the home of William Wallace, they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
They'll never take our Cafe Paloma!
But he had his freedom taken
away. Those are my biscottis!
Haggis! So, like I said, Anthony, who was from Scotland, because he was an immigrant, he was deemed an undesirable because he committed these crimes. Yeah. And so he was sent back to Scotland for a minimum of 4 years.
What a shitty criminal. I thought he was like a big gangster and it would be like Henry Hill at the Copacabana. Every time, you two. Every time. And they're just bringing a chair up at the Cafe Paloma for her. Yeah. And, you know. Mm-hmm. You know why they brought those groceries home? It was out of respect. Something like that, you know.
But
you know when they brought that haggis home? It was out of respect.
That's right. Out of SPDCT. I have her photo here, and I'm showing Willie on it, and that's going to be on our Facebook page if you want to take a picture. This is Monica. Her mugshot.
Who was the actor who played Smeagol in Lord of the Rings?
That's true. I'm just showing you right now that this doesn't, like I'm saying, she's not a high-level gangster is what I mean. She's not...
Yet.
She's not Henry Hill's wife. She's Anthony Smith's wife. She's not Karen. Right?
She wouldn't flush the coke down the toilet. Hid that shit.
Absolutely.
Hid that shit in her fashion.
So, like, her husband's gone. She's got 2 kids now. Poor Monica. Uh-huh. With her lack of education and work...
Her poor, undesirable husband.
Yes, poor Monica. With her lack of education and work experience, she couldn't find legit work and quickly found herself struggling to take care of her children.
You can't put Faget enthusiast on the resume.
She then met a man named Vietter Tessier.
Oh, okay. Vietter.
Vietter.
St. Vietter. Best bagels ever in Montreal.
That's right. And when I looked up Vietter, that's what came up for Richard. It was St. Vietter's bagels. Yeah. So they began a new life together in Repentigny, which is an off-island suburb of Montreal. And Vietter fathered Monica's 3rd baby, which was named Gilles. Okay. So Gilles.
Yeah. Finally going with one French semblance.
Yes. So Vietter was French, of course.
Oh, and that too, yeah.
Yeah, and Gilles, which was her third baby. And it's funny because people around here call it Gilles. Like, we have Giles Boulevard. Call it Gilles. Well, Glennie calls it Gilles.
Well, that's with one L, though. That's different, right? Yeah,
that's true.
I think that is French.
Yeah.
Or that's English, Giles.
Giles, yeah.
But Gilles is French.
Like Niles from Frasier?
Yeah.
Niles. Maybe. What a boring show.
I never watched Frasier. Like, fucking please, shit. Please tell me, Brett, that doesn't mean you watched Frasier.
No, I never.
Frasier is
when I saw the outline of Frasier starting, I turned off the TV. That's when I knew it was time to start. Like when I heard the piano, I was over.
Or like when you were all watching TV with a family and then 60 Minutes came on, you heard that ch-ch-ch-ch and you're like, run, get out. It's the news, Ricky. No one escapes the news.
I'm Andy Rooney. What's up with license plates anyway?
Oh, it's a Ben Kissel bit. I shouldn't say that. But
I'm Andy Rooney. I'm going to poop on the sofa.
You mean I'm Mickey Rooney?
I don't know. What did I say? Andy Rooney?
Who's Andy Rooney?
I don't know. I was saying it wrong. So like I said, she's got it pretty good, right? She's with Vietzer now. Monica now has three kids, and she was also learning a new skill. Her beau, Tessier, like I said, Vietzer, was an avid banker, and during their time together... Oh.
Is his last name
no,
Tessier?
No. Yeah, Tessier is his last name.
But his first name's Vietzer?
Vietzer.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So Vietzer Tessier, he was an avid... No. Did I say
Why
banker?
Why wouldn't you say his... Oh, bank robber?
Because when you refer to someone after the first time you refer to some in CP format, you refer to them as their last name.
Oh, okay, you're right.
Yes, that's right.
That was a test, and I failed.
You did fail. No wonder... Never mind.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Say it.
Yes, this again.
No wonder you majored in English.
That's right. Okay. So anyway, but you missed there. I said he was a banker, but I had a mistake there. I meant he was a bank robber.
I'm a bank robber,
baby.
So sometimes I stutter.
So Tessier was an avid bank robber, so he taught his new love this special skill. So Monica started learning how to help him plan out and execute bank robberies.
Nice.
So here we go. So they worked as a crime duo, like back Bonnie and Clyde. This is like, Bonnie and Clyde. I don't know.
Bonnie and Clyde.
This
Bonnie
is the French.
Jesus.
Yeah. So this is Monica and Vietter. So Tessier was the brains. Oh, sorry. Monica was the brains. Tessier was the bronze.
Okay.
Right. So she would help him plan things out. She would be the getaway driver. She would be a distraction. She would help him any way he could. And this worked out for a few years, but there was one problem in 1966. Pickup sticks. During an attempted robbery, Tessier was caught, arrested for armed robbery, and sent to prison for 15 years.
Damn.
So she just... This is...
Montreal.
Okay. So poor Monica again, man. Like, once again, she's all alone, man. She's with no one to help take care of her three kids this time.
Yeah. It's not like she did anything wrong, like committed bank robbery or any other.
I know.
This is totally not her fault.
It wasn't my fault. I was forced to do it. So what would any mother do in that situation? So once Tessier went away, Molly made a tough choice. She left her three kids in the care of her sister and started her solo bank robbing career.
Oh, I think you were saying she went back to the streets.
No.
Back to the Fagin.
It could have looked that way a couple times, right? Yeah. But she's always finding another way out.
She went back to Harvey Keitel in Taxi Driver.
So
he's a dopa. Why are you hanging with this guy? He's a dopa.
So she left her three kids in the care of her sister. Like I said, she started her own solo bank robbing career. She's going out. She's like a solo rapper. She started out by going on small jobs for several robbery crews to get respect. So she's working like an extra in a gangster movie. She's like getaway driver. She's like gunman number three.
Two cream, one sugar. I got your coffee.
I got you. Or perhaps a distraction for guards. You know,
security
like in Melvin
guard number seven.
Yeah. Or she's maybe the distraction, like in episode 11 for Melvin Mingo's crew.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
That's right.
Big
someone
cleavaged woman.
That's right. Someone's got to distract the guards. Yeah.
Cleavage and cash.
So I just like imagine her as like a day laborer. She's just like waiting outside of like an alley, like a bunch of like other like criminals.
Yeah.
And like a truck comes up and they go, not you. You, I could use you. Come on in. And she's like, yes. She's like, I got a job that day. Like, she's like a day laborer, like a handy-mandy, you know? Not a handy man, a handy-mandy.
Okay. I see what you did there, yeah.
So Monica immediately starts earning the respect of her coworkers and was quickly promoted for having an icy demeanor and by really knowing how to handle a gun.
You sound like she goes in the office and be like, hey, little miss knocked off that armored car all by herself with their hands at their sides.
That's right. You know what? I think there's a spot opening up, and I think you just might be able to fill it. Keep it up.
Drinks after the murder tonight at the pier? Girly.
Skinny teenies, you know what? We're going to cut our calories. No, the reason why she was promoted so quickly was because she has an icy demeanor and by really knowing how to handle a gun, like I said.
I heard that icy demeanor makes someone's going to make partner.
She's going to be a sergeant soon.
Get benefits.
The reason why she was so respected was because she didn't need to do drugs or get drunk in order to do the job like her other friends were.
Okay.
Right? So she didn't need to get all messed up to get courage to go
rob somebody. She just knew how to do it.
Ice cold.
Ice cold, baby. And a female banker was unheard of in the 60s. So this
bank robber and a female banker.
Did I say banker? Pardon me. No, a female bank robber. Thank you. Sometimes I forget words. A female bank robber was unheard of in the 60s. So the police started calling her.
Bank proud. House proud.
She's house proud, bank proud. So, like they said, the police have never seen a female bank robber before.
So they're at the meetings like, so obviously this is a man who's dressed up as a woman. Bella's a woman escaped from the kitchen and found herself in a bank. Something awful.
My God.
That.
Look what happened here. This woman thinks she works here. My God, she was a victim and she was playing pretend the entire time.
Boss, how's she going to rob a bank with a rolling pin? Hey.
Oh, my God. I get no respect.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, I get no respect.
But the thing that really made her stand out was the fact that she was a female bank robber, right? So the police detectives, they gave her the nickname. They started calling her Machine Gun Molly.
Okay, nice.
Or in the French newspapers, they would call her Molly La Mitraille.
Oh, okay.
Right? So even though she never owned a machine gun or anything, but once this nickname got out to the press and on the streets, her boyfriend Gerard Lelievre, he bought her a gold-plated semi-automatic M1 rifle, which she used on every robbery afterward. So, like, I think of, like, a movie scene where he goes, here, baby, you're missing something. She goes, they're, like, getting ready for a date or something. He goes, you're missing something. She goes, what do you mean? I look great. He turns around and he goes, you're missing this.
Like when Harry Potter gets the good broom, Thunderbolt or whatever.
Absolutely. And she, like, she grabs it and I could just see, like, it just starts fusing into her hand. She goes, now I'm really Machine Gun Molly. God. And, like, this becomes, like, her persona, man. She, like, really digs into it. She uses this gun on every...
Magnificent Machine Gun Molly with her M1.
That's right. Like, she becomes known for having this gold-plated M1 and by doing a lot of really interesting things when she is robbing banks. So she becomes a folk hero for the people of Montreal, like, not just because she's robbing the banks, but because how she did it.
Yeah. So, and you have Gloria Steinem and all those movement at that time, right? Like, that's badass. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. She was all over the newspaper. So she would disguise herself by wearing wigs and dressing in men's clothes during the heist, but then would strip off the men's clothes and be in women's clothes at all other times to avoid detection. So, like, she would be pulling off these heists, she'd be in, like, overcoat and a shirt and tie and stuff. But as soon as she got outside, she'd be off. It'd be, like, Mission Impossible.
Oh, maybe she was that waitress from Ann Arbor that was in that newspaper article who was forging checks.
Oh, I didn't know.
A waitress. No. When I showed you, literally 20 minutes
ago. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry.
Forging checks? Never heard of it. Podcast? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I don't know nothing about crimes. So Monica, when she was doing these bank robberies, she'd be speaking in a harsh voice. She would blast off her machine gun to scare the bank tellers to give them the money, but she would never hurt or kill anyone during these robberies.
Oh, of course not.
Of course not. So Monica was suspected, at least.
They always say that.
Of being the mastermind of at least 20 separate bank robberies during her 2-year solo stint.
Damn.
And she raked in over $100,000 in the 60s.
Do you think when she was driving with her boyfriend, they'd be like, hey, honey, what about this place? You know, 2 security guards. I don't know. Let's keep going. What do they have over here? We just drove by that place. Well, I don't know. Like, I just... Ooh, Kelly told me about this really good bank across town.
I don't really care what you want.
Yeah,
so
I mentioned that 10 minutes ago, but fine. Sure, let's do that again.
Absolutely. I mentioned that what you want 10 minutes ago to Sweetie, but...
If there was a bank called I Don't Know of America, it would have been robbed first. Let's just put it that way.
Well, this bank has really good hors d'oeuvres, but I really like the good service at that bank. I'm really not in the mood to go to RBC, but you know what? You know what? You're forcing me into it. We're just going to go to the Bank of Montreal. You did that last... You picked the Bank of Montreal every time.
Every time.
Oh.
Your buddies are going to be there, aren't they?
Oh, is this one of those? Oh, was oh every
not
time?
This again. Not yes, this again.
Yes, this again. Oh man, I love it. So, like, imagine trying to pick a bank to rob, right? Oh, it's hard enough picking dinner, but we're not being sexist. Men are having hard times picking dinner too. Don't worry. So, like I said, she knocked off over $100,000 in the 60s from these robberies. So that today is like $650,000-$700,000.
That's like 5 mink coats from Lazar's downtown.
That's very true. And only a bucket,
like,
of five
two
bucks
chinchillas.
Yeah, and only a $2 bucket of cheap paint to ruin it. So,
But like,
cheap what?
Of cheap paint. So it only takes $2 of cheap paint to ruin a mink coat.
Oh, to ruin it. To I'm ruin like, what's it. What's a paint-a-roon?
Paint-a-roon.
Pantaloons?
Pantaloons?
Yes. Paint-a-room?
So after a while of doing all these robberies, these are really high risk, right? She's barely getting away from the cops. So after a while, Monica has had enough of the criminal lifestyle, and she wants to get out. Her kids are growing up, and she wants to go disappear. So if you're from Montreal, where would you want to go if you wanted to disappear?
I don't know, Maine?
That's right, Willie. Florida. She wants to go to Florida, the where the beer
Maine
flows like wine.
The Florida of Canada.
That's right.
Where we go.
That's right. Oh, man. Maine is Florida of Canada. So she wants to go to Florida. So Molly decides she's going to scheme her way out of Montreal by pulling off one last score. What do we call it, buddy?
The Big Dirty?
The Big Fucking Dirty.
The Big Dirty.
So Monica's going to
pull... Sally.
That's right. Monica's going to pull off the Big Dirty. So she plans out one last job with her boyfriend, Gerard, the guy who gave her the gun, and his brother, Robert. So they team up, and they decide to rob the Casse Populaire on St. Vital Boulevard in Montreal Nord. And on September 19th, 1967, they strike. They hit the Casse Populaire and make off with $3,000 cash. Then they hit the streets in a 1967 Chrysler. Right.
So that's the same as the coat cost back then. So that's like around 30 grand. That's not that much, right?
That's what I mean, right? Okay. She's trying to make off to go to Florida with three people.
Didn't she already make $100,000 at least?
Who knows where that money went, though, right? At this time.
Brett, show me every single receipt for her entire life.
Okay, let's go. Monica LaMetraille is going to $35,000. Anyway.
2 liters of paint alone.
But $3,000 isn't that much, so they need to get away for it to make it worth it. Yeah. So they then hijacked in 1966.
They'll get them to Point Pelee, the Florida of Essex County.
The Florida of Essex County.
That's as south as they're going.
It's pretty true, too. I didn't even think about that. Because it's got the point all the way down if you look at it that way.
It's got some alligators, too. If
That's
you look
true.
Hard,
there's some gators. Sure. There's some zombies walking around there, too. Yeah. So the trio then hijack. So Monica, Gerard, and Robert, they hijack a 1966 Plymouth so that they can switch cars and get away from the cops. Okay. And they're cruising down Pi 11th Boulevard when the Montreal police identify their getaway car and a high-speed car chase begins.
Okay.
So Molly was driving the car, right? She did all those small jobs growing up, getting into it. So she's the car driver. So she punches it. She starts going up to 180 kilometers an hour. So she starts going up to 180 kilometers an hour down Pi 11th Boulevard to get away from the cops to try and sprint away from her life of crime and possibly start fresh, Willie. She's fucking trying. She's trying to get going. But at an intersection at Dickens Street, she got smoked by a bus. Struck by the Montreal, right in the Dickens. Right by the Montreal Transit Company, right in the Dickens.
Damn.
So her boyfriend Gerard and his brother Robert, they were able to get out of the car to flee, but they were quickly captured. Monica was not so fortunate. So whether she was pinned in the car or was too injured to get out, Molly decided that she wasn't going down to the cops, so she stuck her gold-plated semi-automatic M1 rifle out the window, and she starts firing at the police as they were coming to arrest her.
Wow.
So she's crashed. I'm showing Willie this picture here, which will be on our social media. So this is a picture of the scene here. So she's crashed here. You see where the driver's side is. So she's pinned in this way.
Wow.
And I'm thinking that she's pointing the gun backward toward the cops. And so when she shoots off at the cops, the Montreal police, who have been the butt of many jokes at the hand of the press and residents alike, thanks to Molly and her gang, they return fire and riddle her body with bullets.
Yeah.
They strike Monica down, and Monica Prodietti, Machine Gun Molly, or Monica LaMetraille, was struck, and she died in the streets of Montreal at the age of 28 years old.
Wow, she was only 28.
Yep. So what a life well lived, eh?
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So a media storm ensued about how one of Montreal's most famous bank robbers and folk heroes had to turn to a life of crime to support her kids. So she becomes an even bigger story after this.
That's a great narrative.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I'm telling you it's right now, right? And so...
That's why I'm here!
That's why I'm here, baby. So she dies in 1967, but Molly's legacy would live on for generations to come because her story has been told in books. It has been made into a musical.
And been made into Netflix's The Irishman, which is about her life.
But it's also been made into a movie called Molly LaMetraille, which was made in 2004. Oh. So I guess she has three kids, remember?
Yeah.
Right? So her son Tony, apparently he had some trouble with the law and he went away for 11 years. And during that time, his sister gave some filmmakers the permission to make a movie about his mother's life. And shortly after, like, it was a big thing because I guess the family needed money, right? Mm-hmm. So they sold the rights to the thing. The son did not want to sell the rights to the movie. And, like, I guess shortly after the movie came out, he committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So that was one of the last things that I was able to find out about this case. And that is the case of Machine Gun Molly.
It's interesting because Proietti, she's Italian, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, Montreal, like, the Montreal mob, like, Vito Rizzuto and those guys, like, they were huge force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. So she probably, I would love to hear some stories probably of her, like, with the if she was mobbed up, because that would be fucking sick. But
yeah,
she
because
hung out with some Scottish douchebags who couldn't provide shit for her. Mm-hmm. I would have taken care of you, Molly.
Absolutely. It doesn't say anywhere that she was involved in the West End gang. It's just that she knew people from the West End gang. Okay. So yeah. I learned about her and Melvin Mingo around the same time. So I'm researching these cases and seeing, like, who's got the coolest.
Ran in the same circles.
Yeah. When I did the story about Melvin, I mentioned that he met Molly. Remember, we had some jokes about Molly.
Yeah.
During that joke. And then I'm bringing her back now because her story is just as cool as his.
Yeah.
But she got gunned down in the streets and he got away.
I wonder if they talk, if they ran in the same circles as Jacques Mesrine, the crazy Frenchman.
Who knows, man? Like, at that time, this was, like, the time of liberation. This is the time of freedom.
Imagine, like, all three of those people, like Monica, Jacques Mesrine, and the other guy who we were just talking about. Melvin. Yeah.
The bank robber, right? Yeah. He was the heist guy. The guy who got off
with the little guy with the mustache who's just living life in an RV now. Mm-hmm. That's bought with stolen bank money that he pretty much admits on camera.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I love that story, too.
Wow. That was awesome, man.
Yeah. So that's the story of Monica.
Machine Gun Molly. Meh,
yeah. So the name itself is worth the listen to as well.
Oh, my God. Machine. That's what MSL means. That's from that classified.
Machine Gun Molly.
No Machine Gun Mollies. No blacks. Thank you.
Yes. No blacks. No MSL. Chinese only. Oh, it 100% says that. We're going to link that to our social media.
Just let it be known that we don't know if they posted that or not. It could very well be
a prank.
A ill-tasted prank that someone did. So if it is, we're sorry for Lucky Chopsticks. If it's not, shame on you.
Yeah,
that's fucked.
Absolutely.
It's not very lucky of
you. And that's our episode this week, guys. If you like our stories or if you like us, make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Please, please, please. We're getting close to like the 20 review mark right
now. Yeah, we got a couple there. So leave us a review. Tell us what you like, what you want to hear.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Honestly, I didn't kind of realize it until we started doing this, but Apple reviews make a big deal. Tell your friends if you feel like they would be interested in this kind of show or our kind of humor or comedy. Make sure to recommend us to a friend and steal their phone, like we said, and subscribe to it.
Some of our greatest episodes have been recommendations that we would have had no idea, you know, had they not been mentioned to us. So if you have anything you want to hear about or any questions, please let us know. You know, send us a DM on Twitter or Gmail, message us on Facebook, anything, and we'd love to explore that and share it with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if that's it, make sure to follow us on social media at Wild, Wicked, and Weird Podcast on Facebook, at Wild Wicked W on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter too, at Under the Hedges. Send us an email at wildwickedweird@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Follow us on YouTube. Give us an Apple review. Until next time, folks, thanks for listening. Let's keep it wild, wicked, and weird. This is Brett and Willie saying peace, and we'll see you next time.
Woo! Peace. We'll be right back.